Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This week, we're at the culmination of our five-week summer sermon series called Do Not Conform. And so this will be the last week, at least in a little while, you'll hear this passage spoken out loud, Romans 12, verses 1 through 3. It's kind of our theme series of verses for this series. And in this series of verses, Paul writes, "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." So for the last 5 weeks, if you've been able to be here for each one, we've looked more closely at maybe something that we say as Christians or something that we think or something that other people say about us that may or may not match up very well with what God has to say in His Word. Today we come to the last of these five things, this one being this idea that Christians shouldn't judge. Now, judging, especially when we're judging others, can be tricky. There's a story that kind of illustrates just how tricky this can be for us. There was a young couple that had moved into a new neighborhood. So the very first morning, they were eating breakfast in their kitchen, and the wife was looking out her kitchen window. She could see in the backyard of her neighbor, and she noticed that her neighbor was out in the backyard hanging her clothes up on the laundry line to dry. So this young wife turned to her husband and commented about what she saw, and she said, "I can't believe this woman's laundry. She just did it, and it looks so dirty. I wonder if she doesn't know what she's doing. Maybe she needs to change the laundry detergent that she's using." Now, her husband didn't say a word. And so over the course of the next few months, this happened over and over again. The neighbor would be out hanging the wash in the morning, and the young woman would make similar comments to those that she had made the first day. And until one time, it was about 3 months after, it was a repeat of how things had gone before. She was sitting down for breakfast, and her neighbor was once more hanging the wash out on the line to dry. Only this time, the wash looked spotless, clean. And so she turned to her husband. She said, "I wonder who taught her how to wash her clothes." Her husband replied, "Well, I don't think anybody taught her how to wash the clothes. I woke up early this morning and washed our windows." Now, that's the thing when it comes to judging others. So often we find that in judging others, we're really judging ourselves. One of the more popular things that Jesus said, at least in our culture today, we find written in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus writes says at the very beginning there, "Judge not that you be not judged." And most of the time we just shorten that to make it easy on ourselves to two words, "judge not." Now most of the time we see these words get trotted out when we feel like someone is judging us or when someone is being judged. And unfortunately these two words have been twisted to mean something I think that is very different than what Jesus first meant. They've been twisted to mean, you know, you live your life and I'll live mine. But don't you dare judge how I live by your moral standards. When you read all of what Jesus said at this moment, it was the culmination of his Sermon on the Mount, but these five verses here in Matthew chapter 7, what you find is that Jesus did not say that, you know, you live your life and I'll live mine. Instead, what you see Jesus doing is walking this fine line that exists for us in judging. On the one hand, there's the very real danger that we judge too quickly and self-righteously the actions of others. But there's another side that Jesus mentions, that we don't judge at all. Danger that we become permissive. So Jesus deals with both of these here in this sequence of five verses. Now, at the beginning, he says, "Judge not that you be not judged." And so for those of us, and it's probably all of us from time to time, who are quick to judge and judge self-righteously, Jesus says this very simply, "Judge not that you be not judged." Now, when Jesus says that, there are a number of things he's not saying. He's not saying that we can't judge one another like the judgments that we give out in a court of law. He's not saying that we can't find murderers guilty of murder or that we can't find thieves guilty of stealing. Neither is Jesus talking about judging those very open or public sins, and we'll get to that in a moment. He also isn't talking about not judging false teachers as false. Instead, what he's attacking is this attitude, this holier-than-thou attitude that all too often we get when we look at the things that other people are doing. Jesus realized that this was a very real and serious problem in his day, and it's just as serious a problem for us. The Pharisees and the scribes, they were experts at this. They were experts at looking out in the crowds and seeing the people who were living up to their standards of expectation and making judgments about them. And we often, if we're honest with ourselves, we do the same thing for very similar reasons. Because doing that, it just makes us feel better. See, if I'm looking out at a crowd of people and I'm able to point my finger, at the things that someone else is doing wrong, it takes a little bit of the pressure off of me and the sins that I'm struggling with. Especially if I can find someone who looks like they're having a worse go of it than I am. You know, it makes it seem like my sins, they're not as big a deal. As if they're not as much of a problem. And the real danger for us in doing that is, as we do that, as we point out the sins and the failings of others, all of our attention is directed there. And the real truth is the only person that you have even a modicum of control over the things that they're doing is yourself. And so if all of your attention is directed towards others and the things that they're doing, often you have no attention left directed at yourself and the sins that you're committing. And so Jesus kind of turns that around and wants us to refocus on ourselves, on the fact that we oftentimes are just as sinful as the people that we want to point fingers at. And this is why Jesus, in saying, "Judge not that you be not judged," gives this example, this illustration of a log and a speck. And so this is what he says. You know, "Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye." And Jesus uses this imagery, this analogy of a log and a speck, because it's what he was familiar with. He began early on as a carpenter. And it was an image that was very familiar to the people that he was talking to. And I think if Jesus were here today, if he were to give us a different analogy, it might go something like this. "For those of you who are often judging self-righteously," that a person who judges self-righteously is kind of like an armchair quarterback. And maybe you've heard that term before. Now, if you're not familiar with it, an armchair quarterback is the kind of person who will sit down on a Sunday afternoon when the game is on, or Monday night. They'll sit in their chair and they'll critique everything that they see happening out on the field, whether it's from the guys on the bench to the coach, the quarterback. You know, they're the experts. They know exactly what everyone on the field is doing wrong. When the throws aren't being made, or the passes aren't being caught, or the blocks aren't being made. And more often than not, this is the kind of person who's never stepped foot on a field before, never thrown a pass, never caught one, never taken a block. And yet, they're from the comfort of their living room, their favorite chair, they know exactly what everyone else is doing wrong. Never mind the fact they wouldn't last 10 seconds out on the field themselves. And we often wind up doing the same things. We are so often experts at what everyone else is doing wrong. Experts at the way that everybody else needs to fix their own lives. But so often, we've got blinders on when it comes to our own sin and when it comes to our own faults and failings. And so to us, Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged." But it's important to note that Jesus doesn't stop there. You know, if he'd ended the Sermon on the Mount there with just those two words, "Judge not," then maybe this would be a little bit different conversation. But Jesus goes on. And he addresses the other danger in judging. The first being that we judge too quickly, or we judge self-righteously. But the second danger is that we don't judge at all. that we become permissive. And I think a lot of people who wind up in this side of the coin, they get here because they've seen this, you know, judging too quickly and the judging self-righteousness. They've experienced that themselves. They've seen it, they've experienced it, and they say, well, I don't want to be like that at all. So they go a little too far. To someone who winds up in this dangerous territory is the person who at this point will no longer call sin a sin. They won't judge any doctrine as false for fear of being intolerant, not being tolerant. And the problem is that when we do that, we're not faithful to God and His Word. So Jesus didn't say, mind your own business. Instead, what He called is He left us a responsibility to care for one another. And so, as He's saying this, He says, you hypocrites, first take out the log from your own eye. And then this is important. He says, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So what's the loving thing to do when you see a brother or sister in Christ with a speck in their eye, struggling in some sin? Is it really the loving thing to do to pretend as if they don't have a speck in their eye at all? That sin in their life isn't a real issue? No. Instead, what Jesus calls us to do, first, is take a long, hard look at ourselves and realize that we are not perfect, that we are all equally sinful. To confess those things, and then in humility, to go to our brother and sister and help them. Paul says something much and very similarly in his letter to the Galatians. He says, brothers, if any one of you is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual ought to restore that person in gentleness. But keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. And what Paul is doing as he's saying that there in Galatians, he's walking that same fine line that Jesus highlights in Matthew chapter 7. He's highlighting the danger that first that, as he says, you know, keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. He's highlighting the danger that all too often, when we're looking at other people and the problems in their own lives, we judge them self-righteously, as if we're somehow better or superior to them. But then the flip side of the coin, too, is that our brothers and sisters in Christ, and they're struggling. We're meant to be there as a support to one another, to call one another back. It's what I guess I'd hope that we would all want if we were in those situations ourselves. And if you're ever curious about, you know, what that would look like in real life, that walking that fine line between not judging self-righteously, but also not overlooking a sin, we've actually got an example of that. It's recorded in John chapter 8. This is the story of the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. And in this account, what had happened was there was this mob of guys that had brought this woman who had been caught in the act of adultery to Jesus. You know, they had stones in their hands. And the Pharisees and the scribes who brought her, they were wondering, you know, what Jesus was going to do. Maybe they'd heard or remembered the things that he'd said about judge not that you be not judged. They were hoping, I think, that Jesus would wind up over here in this camp and overlook this woman's sin. They say, ah, it's not that big a deal, that he would be permissive. And that in doing that, he would break God's law. But Jesus turned the table on these men. So as they're standing around this woman, stones in their hands, he turns to them and says, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. And as they thought about it, the stones began to drop until none of them were left. In saying that, you who are without sin, cast the first stone, Jesus, what he was doing was holding up a mirror to these men. He was getting them to see, at least for a moment, the log that was sticking out of their heads, that log of self-righteousness. And as they saw it, they dropped their stones and they left. But then Jesus turned to the woman who was there before him. And it's important to note that he didn't excuse her sin or write it off. He didn't tell her it was no big deal and, you know, these guys had, you know, were horrible people for making false accusations against her. He didn't do that. Instead, what he did was he took the speck out of her eye and he forgave her. He said, "Neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more." In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is not simply saying, "Judge not. You live your life and I'll live mine." Instead, what he's holding up for us is an example of what it looks like to judge in righteousness, as our reading from Leviticus this morning says. And it requires walking a fine line of not judging too quickly and self-righteously on the one hand, and not judging at all on the other. It's the good news in this message, Jesus, this morning, is that you don't have to point out the sins of others in order to make yourself feel better or your sin look not so bad. You don't have to pretend as if sin isn't really a big issue or as if it doesn't exist at all to make yourself feel better. The good news in Christ is that he took that sin on himself. And because of that, we can look at ourselves in the mirror, honestly, recognizing where we sin, where we fall short of God's glory and his plan for our lives. And we can confess those things in confidence, knowing that God in Christ has already forgiven them. So in Jesus' name, amen.